Every single day around this time, we do a thing we call the rundown. Let's do it. How about those Memphis Grizzlies? Big one. And it certainly was much needed, as we've said. It wasn't just halting a four-game losing streak. You hadn't won in the new year of 2026. But it was also which I hadn't realized, and I was reading Chris Harrington's piece over at DailyMemphian.com. It's a 17-game home losing streak against teams with winning records that was snapped last night. You know, you probably expected going into this game with Ja Morant downgraded to basically out, what was it, doubtful, that you didn't have a chance against the Spurs team that was bringing back Victor Wembanyama, who, oh, by the way, had 30 points in 21 minutes. But you did down the stretch, like you had in the previous two Spurs games where they didn't have Wimby, except this time was different. Just like it had been, was different than the Lakers games. You closed this one down the stretch, and we've talked about it. Cam Spencer, an absolute monster for you. 21-8-8 from Cam Spencer, man. I mean, again, you never thought you'd be – I never thought I'd be saying these words. The other part, zero turnovers. That was the thing about putting Cam Spencer on the ball early on when they were desperate, was that he was – it's not his job. You know, spot-up shooter, those kinds of things, was turning the ball over. Man, he has curbed that, has become a guy that can handle the on-ball duties, and last night was going ISO down the stretch, scoring the Grizzlies' final 5 points. I mean, it as improbable as it gets, John's made the point. He's certainly right. You have to factor it in. You know, San Antonio did you a big favor there. What, last 3.5 minutes, think it was, that they pulled Victor Wembanyama, who we said 30 points, 21 minutes, coming back off of knee soreness, had been kept off the last two, clearly was a minutes restriction. You had their coach saying afterwards, we're not as worried about one game as we are about his health, the future, and everything else. This is a team that's right there, number two in the West. All that said, you still have to take it. And the Grizzlies had not been able to do that, especially against teams of this caliber. Anybody with winning records. And so it, much needed, and especially in this sense. I mean, we've talked about it. You know, John was down there. For the fans that were down there, you feel great for, because you're already down there. There's no Ja Morant and everything else. But for this team, you know, for the Vince Williams, for the Cam Spencers, the guys that have been busting their tails here with no Ja on the floor, with sometimes Jaren Jackson giving them a subpar effort, although that was not last night. Credit to Jaren Jackson Jr. You got a solid effort from him. You know, for all those factors, there was a reward for busting your tail and finally closing out one of these teams. I don't care that Victor Wembanyama wasn't on the floor for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Right.
Frankly, it helped you get the win. I'm happy for that. But I'm happy for those role players that have been busting their tails. Jock Landale, who we've given hell for, man, boy, he cannot be a starter for this team. That, you know, he needs to be back. You know, criticizing him for what we know he wasn't brought here to do. He stepped up last night. Huge offensive rebound down the stretch. I know he missed those two free throws, but you're not winning that game if he's not getting Cam Spencer some of those last shots. Huge to see those role players step up and finish it off for you when you've been playing as hard as this team has. That's one thing. The effort has been there, so nice to see it rewarded last night with the breaking of these losing streaks.
Yeah, I think the best lineup last night would have been Spencer, Vince Williams, Jaren, Jock Landale, and Jalen Wells. Like, that would have probably been your best rated lineup, would be my guess. Vince came in and was like, they were kind of letting the game get away from them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got down maybe 13 at one point. And he came in and he made some threes.
4 of 6 from three for Vince.
And he absolutely kept that game, you know, within striking distance for the Grizzlies. It's been weird just with him. Like, there have been times where it looked, you know, 2-3 years ago, he looked like he was going to be a real piece. Then the next year after that, he didn't look like he was going to be a real piece. Last year, it was kind of back and forth. Had a good game against the Thunder in that game 4, but overall inconsistent. But I do think, like, I think he's worth keeping around.
Dude, absolutely.
Yeah, like, I don't know what that deal looks like, but I would definitely keep him around if it was amenable to the salary cap.
Well, I mean, I think he's a part, especially when Zach Edey is back on the floor, he's a huge part of your defensive identity. That's what Vince does. I mean, he's active in passing lanes, and yeah, hopefully, you know, he can shoot 35% or better from three. That's what you really need for him in that role that he's in. But you get it when he's healthy pretty much everywhere else. He's doing a little bit of everything, and you want him as one of those guys. John, I don't know now that with Cedric Cowart and Jalen Wells that you need Vince Williams in the starting lineup. You don't. You needed him earlier this year when you didn't have a point guard to put out there, and he was fantastic in that role. But my point would be, as one of these reserves that we're talking about, when you go against the OKCs, when you go against the San Antonio Spurs, you've got to have dudes. Vince can absolutely be that. And in this rotation going forward, you just hope that he can, you know, stay healthy. you know, can maybe settle into that role coming off the bench. And I think it's a fine role for him going forward. Certainly got more trust in him than I do, you know, G.G. Jackson.
Right.
You know,
right.
At this point, who last night was rewarded with a start. We didn't mention, that's the other thing, you overcome losing Cedric Coward, who, while he hasn't necessarily led you in points every single game, he's been sort of a leader in energy. And you're able to still get that done without him. G.G., you know, is one of the guys that steps up into the starting lineup. He doesn't perform well, and there's Vince, to your point, to knock down 4 of 6 for you and score 15 points with your starter struggling. Also got you, what, six rebounds.
Yep. So, look, I think, you know, you're finding, you know, we talk about the OKC model, right? You know, you got to find some Aaron Wiggins. You got to find some Isaiah Joes. You got to find some supplementary guys. And I think the Grizzlies have definitely done that. The issue is their stars. I mean, that's the you know, mm-hmm. that's the problem, right? I think
and
the Grizzlies
keeping them on the floor.
Yeah, the Grizzlies have done a fantastic job of finding spots 3 through 12. To be honest, it's 1 and 2. And Jaren was great last night. I mean, Jaren couldn't miss from 3. So you know, I know I'm hard on him, and when he doesn't deliver, he definitely did last night.
He did have 6 turnovers, but when you're getting the 3 blocks to go with the 9 rebounds and 21, at 5 of 7 you mentioned from 3. You will take that all day long.
Yeah, 21 and 9 from Jaren is all I really need.
And
I
need the 3 blocks.
Yeah, I mean that's really good Jaren game, especially because
he wasn't active enough defensively against the Lakers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is about the Lakers matchup that he can't take advantage of, because like they stink inside.
AD's not there anymore.
It's DeAndre Ayton and Jackson Hayes and Jared Vanderbilt. Like I don't know why we can't.
Again, we can finish this off positive on Jaren, who is +21 in that one, needed every night.
Yes.
He'll just need it every single night, and he's capable. That's where the frustration's been.
Most definitely.
He's certainly capable of a performance like that every single night.
Yeah.
But your role players stepped up and were stars last night, and you needed them to be you're going through an absolute desert here in terms of losses to these types of teams. You need hope.
Yep.
And last night gives you that, and like John said, you find some guys that look like some key role players coming up in the next couple of years. Vince, one of those guys. Obviously, you found one in Coward, but Cam Spencer has been a revelation.
Yes, he has. So, nice win for the Grizzlies. They're back in action tonight. Suns. And then Friday, they got the Thunder in town. So, it's a...
Before they, eventually head out to, I think it's Europe next week.
That's right. Drew Hill came and sat next to me, and he reminded me that this time next week, you know, when we're starting our new time slot, he will be in Berlin. I think the
one's
Grizzlies
Berlin,
will be
one's,
playing.
Yeah, one's in Berlin, one's in London.
So, what time would that be next week? They're playing the Magic, right? Both games?
Yes, both games.
So that would be Thursday, it would be 1 o'clock here. So we could still have him actually next week at 11:25.
Okay.
Do we get roaming? We get roaming over there?
Internet, phone, you got me, bro. I'm just walking in.
Okay, I don't want the station to get charged for international minutes now.
You know what? Let it rip.
So is he doing both games?
I'll call it.
I think so. Yeah.
If you got a number, nice. I'll call it, bro.
It's going to be Drew's number. It's going to be that same
number. Yeah, I'm in. Dial and smile.
But, you know, he was trying to sandbag me last night. Oh, man, you know, I'm like, man, stop.
It's a phone call.
You're going to Berlin, bro, to cover an NBA basketball game.
Pretty cool.
Like, are you serious right now? You and I would, like, turn over, like, London when the Bears are ready. We didn't go to London. Because we didn't get it paid for.
No.
If somebody paid us to go to London, we'd have gone to London.
You went to Serbia.
I did go to Serbia, and I will never go back.
Daily Memphian pays to send him over.
Oh, sure.
That's great.
I think, is David Boyd going? I think David Boyd might be going as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Ooh, good trip, boys.
By the way, that's not you.
Over there.
David Boyd is not me, but I've been told that I look a lot like David.
That actually was a rundown item. Brad getting misidentified last night.
Opportunity here. Look, you had this 3-game stretch before you left, or I guess it's a 4-game stretch technically. You know, 2 and 2, anybody would have locked in, right? Spurs, Suns, Thunder, Nets, anybody would have locked that in. So, you know, it's a little 4-game homestand. 2 and 2, you would have taken. You're off to a great start. You know, with an upset victory over the Spurs. Not good news for Greenland.
No, it's not.
Not good news because again, they were +210. To beat the Spurs, it was only +177 for the United States to take a part of Greenland.
That's crazy. What we need is your attendance.
In Greenland or the game?
No, tonight.
Okay.
Don't you think that helped as well?
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe even send the Spurs
normally.
A little stir-crow.
If
we could get you at every
year.
Game. Oh, is it? It's the first one. Okay.
I believe that's because I went to some other one. I went to the Nuggets game. earlier this year when Jokic hit the flat-footed half quarter.
Oh, that's right.
I think there was maybe one other that I attended this year that they did not win.
Okay.
So I'm not exactly the good luck charm, Jason, that I wish I was.
The streamers fell, though, last night for you.
The streamers fell. My wife had a good time, you know. Not impressed with Wimby, but she does love. She doesn't know any of the Grizz. I'm like, hey, you're not going to recognize literally anybody out there on that
court. Is she impressed with Jock? He's a larger man.
She was not really impressed with Jock.
No. Oh, so it's not necessarily girth.
No, I don't think it's girth. I think it's just like she, you know.
Tall dudes don't impress her.
I think she, you know, wanted to not be impressed. I think that's really what it was.
Maybe she's just disappointed in the Grizz this season.
Well,
you know, big picture stuff.
I think she's disappointed that she doesn't
wasn't there.
Yeah, you know, nobody plays that she knows.
And then who did she used to fist bump with every time? But
that
now
was
they
was just one time.
Since DeAnthony's been gone,
yeah.
So has really the sparkle in the eye.
I do think like there was a time when my wife was like really into the Grizz. You know,
I mean, if I'm fist bumping DeAnthony melted before every game, I'd be into him too,
and
feeling like part of the team.
I think it's a reflection of how much turnover there has been. How much, you know, how much that team has changed. I do think, like, there was a collective love and adoration for Ja and Jaren and Dylan Brooks and Desmond Bane and you know, Steven Adams, right, in that
Absolutely.
Core.
Yeah.
And so when you change that and you haven't been good since you changed it, yeah, I think that, you know, and again, my wife is, like, extremely, like, you couldn't be more casual than my wife. But I do
I'm just glad y'all got out.
Oh, you we know, got out.
All y'all's kids just getting away.
Yeah, we got out. I mean, that we had to. You know, especially with the third one on the way. I don't know what we're going to do. That dynamic is...
So it's like therapy now. You need this piece away.
Yeah.
But you continue to have more.
Yeah.
I mean, so less peace.
This one was, a happy little accident. Again.
Wrap that rascal, dog.
I'm not wrapping it, man.
I mean,
I'm married.
Y'all grown folks over there, bro. What are you talking
about? I'm going to have to get the operation.
Man? Shouldn't have to have these talks with you.
I'm going to have to get the operation, I think. Because there's just certain things that are non-negotiable for me, just as a man, and I'm going to have to get the operation to, you know.
If I might, when you are off for the, we want to make sure that you get your time.
Oh, you want me to streamline the operation while I'm out?
Well, maybe we get a sponsor. If Scott's listening, we could get a sponsor for it, number one, to help the cost.
You
want
to sponsor my balls?
Yeah, I mean, clip that thing. Maybe we get a sponsor. If you're listening and you do those operations and you're good, we'll vet you. You know, we'll get it all legal.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't just let anybody do it. I mean, it's a very precious piece.
Yeah, it's your nutties. Yeah. You know? So, like, I would take that 6 weeks, though, to get that procedure done.
Yeah, listen, I don't know how many weeks I'm going to take yet. I think in the past, I've not utilized the full six. It's just going to depend on
Are you kidding me?
It just depends on how Jason...
Did you...
It's only
Jason.
Only did four.
He
only
knows
did.
This gets under my skin, so
and
I'm
me
not
too.
Gonna allow it.
It just depends on how
he has
Jason,
not taken the full 6 weeks. Are you, John?
I just want to know.
That's your boss.
It's going to depend on. It's going to depend on how I get treated around here. Whether that's going to be 4 or 6. You know, if people are very nice to me over the next 4 months, you know, maybe that we could take that to 4 weeks instead of the full 6.
I got you.
If people are mean to me, you know,
respect.
We're gonna see if we can get 7 out of that thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean. For the additional week would be for the quote unquote operation.
Yeah, get her done.
No, I saw. You know, it's up to Jason really. How many weeks that ends up being. But we're gonna get that operation. There's no doubt about it. But anyway, nice win for the Grizzlies last night. No operation needed there. All right, the surgeon. Not his services not required.
Yeah.
Upset win.
Yeah, I've already bottom lined this one, but thank you.
I missed this yesterday somehow. I don't know if I was chasing around Dominic, but. Rodney Salisbury, legendary Whitehaven coach. He's been there forever, as long as I can remember. I think
20-plus years.
20-plus years is stepping away from Whitehaven to take a job with the Memphis football program. How about that?
Wow, that is big news.
Rodney Salisbury is going to be hired to be basically – you know, a
player relations, high school player relations, and also player development.
Yeah. So, 22 seasons. This is from John Buzz at the Daily Memphian. He is joining Charles Huff's staff to, like you said, high school relations and development there. I think this is a fantastic touch. Now, Salisbury did tell John Varlis that it's not officially done, but there's a quote unquote strong possibility. Others have reported it.
Oh yeah, and I think Huff retweeted it. So once he's
right.
done that, I thought I saw read that in the story.
Yeah, Matt Zenitz said it's a high school director of high school relations and player development. So that's the official title.
Mm-hmm.
I've I don't know if the Tigers have ever had that. Maybe they have, but I don't remember that under Ryan Silverfield. But yeah, I mean, Rodney Salisbury's been there since 2004. He has been absolutely terrific at Whitehaven since then. Just a real point of pride. Won double-digit games every year except one between 2007 and 2019. He's been to the semis twice. He's been to the Blue Cross Bowl four different times. Two state championships, 15-0 in 2012 and 2016. Only public school in Shelby Metro history to post multiple undefeated state title seasons. Just to give you an idea of how good this guy was and has been at Whitehaven, 197 and 62. Great touch by Charles Huff. Obviously, like, this is just a direct, I'm reaching into the community and I'm giving a guy here who's been a staple at an institution, I'm giving him a spot on the staff. Like, to me, that's like, hey, we're in this with y'all. Like, that's what that says. You know, this isn't just I'm bringing everybody from Southern Miss and I'm bringing all my buddies and I know everybody, like, and we're just going to do what we do.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I want you guys to understand, and I think Charles Huff might have said something to this effect when he got the job, but it's like, we want to be Memphis. We want to reach out to you and be, you know, involved with you. And when I'm out in the community, I want you to say hello to me. Like, this, to me, says he means that when he says it. It's not just lip service. So I don't know exactly what the job is or will look like, but I think it's a great touch by Charles Huff and obviously a great move for Rodney Salisbury.
Well, I think what the, and I agree with you 100%, I think what the job looks like is that you want to find the next Calvin Austin. You want to find the next Anthony Miller. Those guys are here. And, you know, whether they start out as walk-ons or whatever else, but that level of guy who doesn't necessarily get the 4 or 5-star attention coming out of high school out of Memphis, Tennessee, but you know you've got that level of talent here and certainly that level of talent in terms of potential that you can develop in. To a guy, Calvin Austin, we just saw, helped get the Steelers into the playoffs out of Harding Academy. We know his story. We know Anthony Miller's story. Rodney Salisbury's the perfect guy for that job.
Yep.
There's nobody better for this gig. I love that you brought this story up. Frankly, if the Grizzlies hadn't had that win last night, I think this was a first-hour story. Just for how good it is for this man, who's been a giant in the high school coaching ranks. John just went through all the accolades. We're talking about national awards he's won for the leader that he is, not just state titles and everything else. You're talking about a great man here getting an opportunity, but then what this could do for Memphis. Because in the 22 years, I think it is, 20-plus years over Whitehaven, man, Rodney knows every lay of this land, every little step, every little, like Bird used to know the creeks in the parquet floor. That's what Rodney knows about the talent in this area. Like, half of it's been coming through Whitehaven from all over the city. That's the thing about it. And so having him as a guy who can identify, and here's the other thing, because he's been such a cultivator of relationships, yep, a guy that plants seeds and then continues to water, but then those relationships that he's got, he's going to know about talent that he hasn't seen because of the relationships that he's built over the years, 2 decades here in this city.
Yep.
So in terms of what he could do for the Memphis program,
yep,
listen, you can't have all transfers. Not in this day of age. You got to have a core. I don't care if we're talking about college basketball or college football. And with the talent that's here, and particularly sometimes undermined talent,
yep,
there's something to get here. And Rodney Salisbury is a guy who can go out and get it for you and get it in a way, man, where it's coming and helping you. So I think this is a great Memphis sports story right here.
It is.
This man getting this job at this time, I think, is a wonderful thing for Memphis football, and it's a great reward for him.
Yes.
You know, at this point in his life.
No, there's no doubt about that. So I love to see that move, and you know, again, like you said, if you could find some gems and you know,
they're here, bro.
He's gonna know. I mean, he's gonna know. You know where to look. So I think that's absolutely a fantastic hire by the University of Memphis. And then again, like I said, just sort of really reiterating, we're 10 toes down with Memphis. We're not just picking up our operation and we're going to operate it here. Like we're really here and we really want to be a part of this thing. And look, I'm excited. I'm excited about it. I'm excited for Rodney Salisbury and his family. Really rewarded, right? That's what it feels like. You do 22 years as a, you know, high school coach.
Bro,
and an educator in Memphis.
I was doing the preps. I started, yeah, basically when he did.
Yeah.
We kind of came in together.
Yeah.
I was 03. I think he was 04.
Yes.
In terms of covering preps for the commercial appeal. And so,
yes,
you know, saw the rise, but and watched him coach guys like Gene Robinson.
Yep.
Who didn't just go on to great careers at North Carolina, defensive back coming out of Whitehaven, but became a coach.
Yep.
And is now doing a hell of a job at Germantown. And that'd be the thing, if I'm that Whitehaven principal, I'm looking, yeah, for my replacement, a guy that's already doing it, a Whitehaven guy. You like keeping it family. They do over in the Haven quite a bit. And Gene Robinson just looks like I mean, we'll talk about, you know, replacements for Harbaugh and those kinds of things. Whitehaven's that kind of job on the high school scene in terms of, you know, what goes into that program and everything else. And I mean, why wouldn't you want to bring one back home there? But back to me telling the story. I mean, Rodney was over there coaching the Gene Robinsons, who got those scholarships, went on, graduated and everything else, come back. Now they're pouring in to Memphis talent, young men around here. It's the best thing ever. If it goes full circle and it's a guy like Gene, that's an even more wonderful part of this story. But whoever gets that Whitehaven job, it's a huge opportunity. But this is a great opportunity for Rodney Salisbury. Love this story.
Yeah, absolutely. So congrats to him and his family. Rodney Salisbury getting a position on at the University of Memphis.
All right, this is a shocker. Brad and I were sitting at a sixth grade basketball game last night, and one of the other fathers on the team came over, showed me John Harbaugh just got fired.
Mm.
Wow.
So we had to take a little break from the sixth grade basketball for a minute and try to wrap our heads around
it. Did they stop the game?
No.
They showed the pregame.
The kiddies kept on playing.
They should have stopped the game.
They just kept on warming up and everything else. And yeah, they weren't right. We had to discuss this over in the stands because you had a few Baltimore fans over in the stands. I'm still having a hard time with it. 18-year run of head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. And I would tell you, we would not be having this conversation if Tyler Lupin made a 44-yard field goal. So that's where you have to start, right? I mean, they're preparing for a playoff game after winning the AFC North, a win over Pittsburgh, which should have happened because Lamar Jackson had done enough. I can't blame Harbaugh for that. Lamar Jackson also this year injured. There were times where it was, why aren't you running Derrick Henry more? And clearly there at the end, something was off. And there were reports out there about what Lamar wasn't doing behind the scenes. Clearly something was off between him and Harbaugh. Because when given the chance at the end of the season to say you want him back as your head coach, he was asked directly. You know, Lamar said, man, I'm still thinking about this game right here. Yeah, now, within a half second, you can still say, yeah, he's still my guy. But he focused on right now. He did not give an answer. And so I thought it sort of confirmed that there was something going on there. And Jeffrey Wright, I was listening to him this morning with Jeff. If it is a deal where it's sort of come down to him or me, well, you're going to pick the talent that you're in with, right? With Lamar Jackson over Harbaugh, especially after 18 years. But then there were reports out there, too, that Harbaugh also thought it was time.
Right.
You know, that wasn't a guy that was necessarily pushing back against this. That maybe he felt like his time with, whether it was Lamar or just this team, his voice in that locker room, you know, it reached a point where it needed to be somewhere else. And I think that's the next part of this story, is it's going to be somewhere else very quickly. Adam Schefter reported that 7 teams reached out to Harbaugh's agent once they found out he was available. There are only 6 other openings in the NFL. There are 7. One of them is Baltimore. They're not contacting Harbaugh's agent, obviously. That means there's another team with a coach that called Harbaugh's agent. I want you... I didn't hear this discussed on Jeff. Give me your best guess on who that team would be. The team that has a coach in place, but that called to check on whether Harbaugh might be interested. Man, I asked my son, and I thought he hit it. I had that. It hadn't occurred to me. I thought he hit the nail on the head, this morning. Great. So I'm curious to see if you have because I'm convinced he's right. I'm curious to see if you have the same answer.
Dallas?
That's not what he had. I'd be willing to listen to a case, and I'm not saying it's not Dallas. But listen, Miami.
Yeah, Miami.
They're letting him hang on, Mike McDaniel, because they've got to go another year with Tua.
Yeah.
You know, but that would certainly be a deal where you check. Now, new GM coming in there, you know, you'd check to see, would you even consider us, right? Miami's first thing out of his mouth, I said, you know what? Good call, kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might be right on that one. Because the Jets have already said they're in with Aaron Glenn. You know, you think about some of these teams that aren't going to go forward but might have still called. And they've said, even as bad as this season was, they're all in. And I think they made that official yesterday. But Miami just seems like a real good candidate. I'm sure there are others out there. Dallas did the whole, we'll fire our defensive coordinator and make him the scapeoat type thing.
Right, maybe so.
But you're right about old Jerry.
But Jerry's just like,
that's kind of stuff he, yeah.
And he's a star.
Believe me, I ain't putting all my eggs in the Miami basket, but I thought it was a good guess. I mean, think Dallas is a good guess.
Yeah, I think it's probably one of those two.
But it also shows you just how coveted a guy like him still is.
Yes.
Is the other point that 7 teams called, 6th with openings.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you.
Likely.
This was clearly a choice. It was Lamar or Harbaugh.
It feels like it.
I think there's a real chance that they made the wrong decision here. Now, they did try to trade Lamar, or at least they gave him the opportunity years ago to go out and
then they signed him.
and they couldn't get nobody traded for him. You know, so I think that's probably part of this. Like, we couldn't trade Lamar if we wanted to. You know, we wouldn't be able to get back what we would need to justify trading him. So we're not gonna trade him, and we're gonna keep going with him. But look, John Harbaugh was and is still. I'm not saying he's without his flaws, because he is. But the man won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. The man has, you know, the Ravens and Baltimore have only had three coaches. You know, it's kind of amazing when they're like a little diet Pittsburgh in that mm-hmm. way. You know, they haven't been around in Baltimore as long as Pittsburgh, obviously, but. I think there's a chance they end up regretting this.
Lamar had them in position to win.
He did. No, he did. He did. But I okay, fine. Work
this
it out.
This has been
then.
One
Work
year
it out.
Where you know he wasn't fully healthy there for a while too, right?
No, for sure.
And,
I'm not
absolving Lamar yeah. from some bad play this year.
But let me ask you this: do you think whoever the next coach is in Baltimore? I don't know. I don't know who they're going to get, but the next coach in Baltimore, will they get a one seed twice with the next coach?
I highly doubt it. That was the question for me to everybody we were talking to in the stands. Who are you going to get to the Baltimore Ravens fans that were in the stands last night? Who are you going to get that's better than Harbaugh? Like, give me your first name.
You can't. There's
give me your
better.
First name that you come in and you say, you know what, I got more confidence in
I
that.
Mean, they should hire Brian Flores because their defense was the issue.
You are really sold on Flores.
Well, I know you heard me on Jeff. His defense is the reason why that Minnesota team was 9-8.
Correct.
I mean, that offense was abysmal. Now, that doesn't make you a good head coach. A lot of guys can be great coordinators and bad coaches. We've seen that quite a bit.
Was it 9-8? 8-9.
They were 9-8, bro.
Good Lord.
Winning record.
Yeah, it was nothing but defense.
Nothing but defense. Now, they had a great talent.
Well, Justin Jefferson couldn't catch a ball because McCarthy can't get it to him.
J.J. McCarthy, Carson Wentz, and Max Brosmer were your quarterbacks this year, and you finished with a 9-8 record.
You said with that quarterback play, it's still pretty impressive.
So, I mean, again, though, I'm not going to sit here and die on the hill that Brian Flores would be a good head coach. I also think that Tua's career since Flores left makes me lean more toward
100%.
Him getting a raw deal than the alternative.
Well, now you could sort of frame it. He was pushing Tua to be better, and Tua
Correct.
Was pushing back. Like, that's the way that can sort of frame it, as opposed to some guy who can't coach quarterbacks or whatever else we've seen. You know, there's a level that Tua got to, a sort of ceiling, and that was it. And if Flores was demanding more, well, that's not necessarily bad coaching. And that he got sort of framed. I think at one point he apologized, like, publicly for either comments about Tua or the way that relationship went or something like that.
But, yeah.
Yes, to your point, I think you look at that differently now based on, you know, Tua's success post-Flores.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
has been pretty minimal.
But, no, I mean, look, again, everything runs its course. I mean, that's just the truth. Sometimes you just need a fresh voice, and that's where – Ravens kind of were the one seed. They lost unceremoniously a couple of times last year to the Bills. You know, the Chiefs, you know, they could beat the – nobody beat the Chiefs, really.
I think they should have worked it out.
But I would have tried to work it out between the, you know,
yes.
the parties, because you're not going to even come close.
Well, I'd have told Lamar, look, I should have run Derrick Henry more this year to keep you healthy. That's what I should have done. We'll get this worked out. We've come too far together. We have not won a Super Bowl. That's what we got to do. We got to win one together. And I'd have worked this out. He's already out the door, and everybody wants him.
Right.
Here's the big question. You can answer me this one. What's the best job for him? Is it the Giants, where, you know, you know you're going to get some time there? You may have a new GM within a year or two. I don't know, Joe Shane, or maybe he's got a lifetime contract there now. But you got Jackson Dart. You got some juice at receiver with Malik. Do you go there? Is there anything at Tennessee? Because if I'm the Titans, I'm all over this dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling Matt Nagy. That was like my first call. Man, please get knock Matt Nagy. He's knocking to the side to try to get to Harbaugh, because you need culture.
Yep.
And that's what he did for 18 seasons with the Baltimore Ravens. He established that. You had a culture and you had a standard. And so I'd be beating down the door saying, man, do you like what you see with Cam here, with Cam Ward? But I don't – do they? Are they as good a job as the Giants? Is one of these other openings a better job? What would you say is the best open job for Harbaugh? Because it's going to happen. Please don't say you. Please,
I would not say me.
Thank you. Then we can keep this on
conversation. I would hope that in year 10 of this, you would have a little bit more respect for me.
I just didn't know if you're going to come in joking or give me a serious
one. No, I genuinely did think that the Raiders would be good with Pete Carroll and Geno and Genty and Brian Bowers.
I mean, settled on candidate number two anyway, which is Brian Flores. So you're settled.
You should be proud of me for this.
I'm fine with you getting Flores. I don't know that I'm as convinced as you are.
I would say the Giants. I'd say the Giants because
Giants
that defense
is better than Tennessee's in its ownership situation.
Yeah, and all. Yeah. I mean, and you have a good pick. You have a conceivably a quarterback. You have running back. You have receiver if Neighbors is out there. You have a great defense.
And they gave Dable every chance. Yeah. I mean, that owner say you're on thin ice and still keep you just like he's done with Joe Shane.
Now, is Pittsburgh opening?
No. I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know.
I guess if they lost.
I don't know. At home?
They could do a mutual parting.
I mean, because if Pittsburgh opens, I'd say Pittsburgh becomes the best job for a variety of reasons. One, because they never fire you. Like, if you get that job, like, Harbaugh is totally the guy they would hire. Totally. He'd do that job for the next 10 years
or
retire.
But there's not a QB there for the next 10
years. No, but they can get one. There's free agents out there.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, TJ, you have that defense.
But what is he, 50-something?
Yeah.
Like, you'd rather start it with knowing that you've got a young quarterback there that you believe in.
Well,
right?
Also,
you'd rather, as opposed to trying to go get him with the plan.
What's the better job for John Harbaugh? The AFC North, which he knows and breathes and lives, right? Or starting over in a completely different, you know, conference. And I think both would be good for him, but I think for him, he would want Pittsburgh over New York. It's not open, so he may not have that choice. But people keep intimating that Pittsburgh job could, like, Tomlin could leave.
He could leave, especially if they lose, and there will that heat will go back on that he still hasn't gotten it done. What is it, 8, 9, 10 year, whatever the streak is now, without a playoff.
And the Steelers organization would not fight him.
They're feeling good now again,
but
it can quickly go away if he just goes into these playoffs and loses.
Now, somebody bet the Steelers this morning.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Like
that number at now?
It's back to 3. It got to 3.5. Now it's back to 3. That's not a huge move, but it is a move. Mm-hmm. So somebody likes the Steelers out there. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, so what are the openings right now? You got the Raiders, you got the Browns, you got the Giants, you got the Ravens now. Who else is out there? There's 7 total, right?
Yeah, you said Titans.
Titans is out there. That's 5.
I said Titans.
Jason Garrett's interviewing for that one.
Yeah, so is Matt Nagy. Apparently.
Yeah, Nagy's interviewing for us.
Man, y'all don't want him.
I don't think we want him. I think that's the.
Now, I've seen his plan for quarterbacks, and it was terrible for Mitch Trubisky. Not to say that there was ton there, but he mismanaged it.
Yeah. So you got that one.
I feel like we're leaving one opening.
We had absolutely.
There's 7 now.
Falcons.
There it is.
Right and the here. Cardinals.
Yeah.
The best one is definitely the Ravens, but, again.
The best one is the Ravens because they have Lamar Jackson, you're saying?
Yes. Now, NFL.com says ours is the worst. I disagree with that.
Oh, I like that.
I don't think ours is the worst. We have the number one pick. We have Max Crosby, who is tradable.
This is not the number one pick in a draft where you think it's a can't-miss, though.
Still the number one pick,
it's
though.
A can't-miss now to you, because you've convinced yourself of it. But
that will be decided on Friday.
This is a down year.
That will be decided on Friday, all right?
He threw 2 picks the first time against him, Dante.
Right.
And Mendoza threw 1.
If he does it again.
Neither one of them were like studs in that game. I think it was 30-20 or something.
Right. Well, again, we're running it back on Friday. Winner gets the number one pick. That's just that simple to me. I mean, if Dante Moore like outperforms him in a major way, that could flip it. I mean, I really do think it could.
That's what I've been telling.
But you're trying to tell me that a team, I mean, let's just use our heads for a minute, with $100 million in cap space, with a beautiful arena stadium, with 14 draft picks and more coming, with tradable assets like Max Crosby, is worse than the Titans, is worse than the Cardinals. Ain't no damn way.
Bro, you leave off Dumb and Dumber as if that's not a con.
It's the right. It's I call them the Braiders because it's Tom Brady's
show. That's
what
you're telling yourself.
It's Mark Davis has ceded all decision making. Now, he may not be.
We don't know if that's a smart move.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out this draft and this hiring cycle.
He signed up for Patriot Way with a little money coming his way. That's all he's banking. That's what he's banking on here.
Yes. No, it is. He is. And honestly, his first hire was a disaster with Pete Carroll.
Just because you played for him and won Super Bowls don't mean you got the Patriot Way pumping through your veins like Vrabel does.
People have been trying to recreate the Patriot Way for a long time, and I don't even know if we could say Vrabel's doing
it. No, because he didn't coach there, right? He played there.
Right,
so, he didn't coach under Belichick.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure even he's a decent example of
although
the
I guess
Patriot
he would
Way
say
out
the,
here working
the,
somewhere.
The Titans,
but he played for him. I mean, he was ultimate Patriot now.
And the Titans were all defense, right? And a run
defense
game.
Defense and run game.
Yeah, that's what they were.
And just maximizing. He never had a QB.
Yeah.
Not a real one.
Yeah.
That's what was unbelievable about him.
Yeah.
Now he's got the best QB ever.
Yep.
And Drake.
You know, Bennett never talks about Tannehill. It just does not hold a place in Titans fans' hearts. Even though he was more accomplished than Mariota.
He was an overachiever because he used to be a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He was an athlete. One of your favorites, a white athlete.
Yeah, you know, I don't like every white athlete. It's got to be a very special.
That's why I only bring a certain group to the table.
Well, it ain't
the
Tannehill.
Ones that we think could pass the Watkins around to.
It ain't Tannehill.
Well, I think Cam Spencer's approaching that territory.
He is. I am.
What?
My only skepticism with Cam is like, I need you to do this in the context of.
It's smaller role. I wanted to talk to you and come jump in on your question. It was a great question. Who were we talking to? Herd,
yeah.
Yeah.
We only had one guest.
Because you're asking for a smaller role. You're asking for a little bit of Luke Kennard. And now you know this guy isn't just a spot-up shooter, but a guy that you can put on the ball. So what it might do in the future is make a guy like Ty Jerome expendable.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying? Signed him on a two-year deal anyway.
You brought Ty Jerome in to do something like that.
Very
to be
true.
A guy you could
Very
trust
true.
On ball yep. and a guy that can knock down three-point shots for you. This kid is proving he can do that, you know, on a rookie deal. It's unbelievable. And so it gives you more flexibility. But to me, you won't be asking him major role in to finish off games as a closer like you did last night because
right.
of your situation. It'll be a much smaller role that he's looking like they're preparing him well for.
Yep, yep.
You know, Luke Kennard, Ty Jerome.
Yep.
You know?
No, he
could be that guy, perhaps.
He can. I do. Look, I love he's as Jeff Goodman would say, he's got some ish to him.
Man, and his cleaning up of the turnovers, I think, is the thing I respect most.
Absolutely.
Like, he's like, I know it. They're going to – I got this opportunity. Here's where I'm struggling a little bit. Man, this man's cleaned it up, zero turnovers last night.
Yes.
You know, when they're going to you, it was really impressive.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll see what the Ravens do. But, you know, it's always a controversial decision when you fire a guy that you know, led you to 12 playoff appearances.
The Athletics said expect to hear names such as Los Angeles Chargers defense coordinator Jesse Minter and Rams defense coordinator Chris Shula. Like, when Baltimore fans hear that mm-hmm. and hear about the interviews, how do you get up for that? How can you condone this move?
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
When that's going to be the guys coming in. Not to say they can't get it done. We laughed a little bit at Dan Campbell and some other guys, but the point would be nobody's going to believe in the moment that this was the right move. We won't know until they're in the middle of the season next year with Lamar.
Well, what's interesting is that they had Mike McDonald as a DC.
Yeah, you saw. Yeah.
I mean, they can't probably get him. Like, Seattle would not trade him.
two double-digit win seasons in his first two, I think it is.
But it's just kind of unfortunate. I'm sure Mike McDonald would like to go back. I mean, just because he's been there. But, you know, he's not going to have a choice.
I know their defensive standard has fallen off since he left 2 years ago.
No
right?
question. And Seattle's has gone way up
this year. It was different. Yes. Oh, yeah. They're back to.
I don't think Minter is bad. I think Minter is, you know, that LA defense is pretty damn good. It's again, like you said, I mean, it's when you hear those names, it's, you know, it's going to be pretty jarring because he's done nothing. He's never even been a head coach. But
maybe you wait to see if Mike Tomlin's available.
Maybe.
What you're telling me they're going to flip coaches?
That could happen.
That'd be the silliest thing I've ever seen.
Mike Tomlin
would
be all about it.
Still be playing against each other.
Mike Tomlin would love it.
The other uniform.
Now, I don't think Mike Tomlin and Lamar is a good fit. I just don't. I don't think that's the kind of QB.
Mike Tomlin needs his quarterback already in place.
Well, he does need that. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know if he has the offense. Like, will he put the offense in the scheme in place? I don't know. Derek Henry's
still
there.
He'd have to let somebody run that, yeah.
Yeah,
but, not with his old antiquated schemes.
But I don't know. Maybe. I think he'd love to stick it to Pittsburgh if he walked away. There's no doubt about that. But I think they would be wary of him going there too, don't you?
No way that happens.
Yeah.
That's just too crazy.
They would make Baltimore.
They'd flip him.
They wouldn't fire him. They would, you know. I don't know how that works. I don't think coaches can just leave and take other jobs in the NFL, right? Like, doesn't it have to be trades? If you're under contract.
If you're under contract.
Right.
Yeah, that's correct.
So I assume he's under contract, but I don't know. If he's under contract, they're not gonna fire him until Baltimore, unless and until Baltimore makes a hire. Otherwise, they're gonna say you're under contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I wouldn't want to see him over there.
Yeah, hell no. You definitely don't give him a chance to beat your ass twice a year. No question about that. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Dan Wilkins is gonna join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the college football playoff, Miami Ole Miss, the LSU staff situation. And more. Stick around. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Black Tie Movement has changed the movement in the city of Memphis. It's really important to have somebody that you trust when you come to and make that decision to move. They can handle it all, whether you're cross town, cross country, staying in Memphis, leaving Memphis. They can handle that move for you. But it's extremely important to get on the schedule. 316-6196 is the number. I've used them twice. Jeff Calkins has used them. And there's a reason for that. It's because they're the best in Memphis. Black Tie Move and Change Move in the city of Memphis. Our eyes on Ja Morant. Does he play tonight against the Phoenix Suns? We're going to put Brad on the spot. Brad.
Yeah.
Does Ja Morant play tonight against the Phoenix Suns?
Ja Morant will play tonight against the Phoenix Suns, I have a feeling.
All right. Give yourself a round of applause.
All right.
It's the brand new
Just, with all due respect, and I love Brad, y'all know I love blowing the smoke. Does he deserve applause just for taking a guess?
I want to give
a little weird.
The applause would be for Brad for participating in the game.
Participating.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
I think he needs to play. Victor Wembanyama took his turn last night. Tonight is Ja Morant's turn to play as a star. What I've enjoyed about your show and Jeff's show is talking about it, because this is a league thing, right? Like, you go to these damn games to see stars, and even I was happy about Victor not playing the end of the game, but it was nice to see him, right? And these guys are just not playing. They're not playing full games, at least.
Well, again, 4 minutes, the final 4 minutes.
That's asinine, issue. By the way, for them, too. I don't change my view based on the fact that the first one last week against the 76ers was a Grizzlies game and that this one was the Spurs. The sentiment is still the same from my desk. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Play, go win that game. Like, just go get it done.
I have not seen an official, you know, the Grizz PR. I've not seen that quite yet.
So they haven't given so with Coward, is he going to, you know?
Obviously Coward is, you know, he was out. So we know how there's a cadence, right? It goes out to downfall.
Yeah. Best thing about that part, though, we never got a medical update right on Coward that said we've looked, you know, you didn't get an email from them. So, you know, hopeful that you'll move back up the injury list relatively quickly with him.
Yeah.
I'd rather see Coward.
It's not major.
He's
asked about it last night.
Well, Cedric Howard is the –
not major.
Let's be honest. Cedric Howard is the future of the Grizzlies.
That's right.
We I don't know if we still think that about Ja, you know. So there's a little bit of, you know – Let's steal this guy. Not steal, but let's give him some big reps. You know, I mean, he's already taken the starting job, and you know, I love his businessman approach to the NBA game. Like, there's no frills with Cedric Howard. Just like, hello, I am here to grab 8 rebounds and score 22 points a game.
He's a player,
and that's what I'm gonna do. And I'm not gonna get emotional about it. I'm not gonna be in my feelings about it. And you know, he's just like a. He's like a politician in that way, you know. He's just like, you know, give me my 22 and 8, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You know, and I would where you're going, I would build off that and say, you know, with a guy like that, you don't want bad influences around him.
Totally true. Totally true.
You know, because you can feed off that.
Yeah.
That power that Cedric Coward has, everything that John's touching on, you can feed off that as an organization. It can help develop and maybe even lead your culture to that point. And what you don't want is moodiness. And guys that are in and out,
yep,
and some that ain't with the program, and especially ones that you're heavily invested in, right, and asking to lead you, you don't want that influence around that type of potential. So again, it's something you have to consider, because you need that leader that's on that same page with that coach, and so that rookie knows, that rookie with all that potential, man, there's a way things go here, right? There's a way things go, there's a way it's done, a culture like we talked about with Harbaugh. And we know this one's been in disarray. And so as you try to rebuild it back, and if you got guys that are in and out, what do we see against the Lakers? What'd that look like? What were they, 3-2 at that point at halftime?
Yep.
You know, that's not the kind of influence you want around Cedric Coward. You want him around a guy like, I hate to say it, but Shea Butter, Shy. We said it. He leads the culture because he's a machine. It's all about the process. If you had that in Ja, you'd feel a lot better about him leading your culture, but you don't. And so that might be another reason you have to revisit this, you know, in terms of the influence he's having, and maybe is some of it negative on the rest of the guys that now you look at, as John said and started this with, that are part of your future going forward, maybe even a big part.
Yeah. So I mean, look, we'll see. I don't, I know there's a certain time they have to release that information, right?
Yeah.
And so I mean, that's what
I think so, even in a back-to-back.
Yeah.
See, my thing with Coward is, if you allow this to continue and then a couple of years from now you decide to move on for Ja, Coward has watched the way you handled Ja.
Mm.
And he might think, you know what, okay, well, all right, well, when I get this and they do all, there's going to be a way that he can behave, you know what I'm saying, and get away with it. And so, I mean, the more you talk about it and the more you look at the games he's not out there, I think it was his 18th missed game yesterday.
Yep.
You know, and you just, we continue to say, is he, can you trust him?
Mm.
And it's not just about being out there. It's about trust him to have a positive impact on the rest of the team.
Yep. Yep.
And that's what you need your leader to
do.
I know it's basic one-on-one stuff, but that's kind of where we're at right now, because now you got investment in these younger guys that look like, I mean, have been busting their tails, dude, to prove to you that they're pieces, that you, that investment moving up to get Coward, it's going to pay off for you.
Absolutely.
You can't have that, you know, sort of tarnished early by thinking the, you know, having your leader out there being in and out and thinking that's the way, you know, franchises operate.
Mm. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, so we'll see. We'll see if he plays tonight and, you know, what that would look like. Again, it was weird. It was questionable and then downgraded to doubtful yesterday. That normally does not happen with the Grizzlies. Am I right?
There's been a couple of them. You get
upgraded and then you go, you know?
Yeah.
But in this case,
I think we've seen it before.
Yeah. I know the Bucks love doing that with Giannis. They love upgrading him to questionable and then they'll downgrade him to doubtful after shoot around and he doesn't play. But
yeah, we don't see it as frequently here as with Milwaukee. But I think he might have had one this season where he got downgraded.
Yeah. So we'll see. Again, I don't know what time that's all going to post. But, yeah, it'd be nice to get him back out there. He obviously hit the game winner against the Suns early in the year, so it'd be nice to get him out there. But if not, obviously you have Superman and Cam Spencer who can handle that. We got that down on lock, man.
Well, I don't know if I want him doing that every single – or asking him to do that every single night.
Right.
That's going to finish like that. But, man, he was good. Again, it wasn't just Cam. It was a next man up type of effort. But Grizzlies get rewarded. Ja.
Yep.
And you have a little joy watching those guys win last night.
He looked fine on the bench.
Bust their tails out there without you.
T was there with the big Ja Morant shirt on.
Your old boy Dylan Brooks on the other side. Know that raises maybe a competitive fire in you. Know that would have. You know, back in the day, it would have. So, you know, come on back to the team, man.
Yep.
Right? You still won't be here.
Yep.
Let's go.
So anyway, there you go. We'll wait and see what the old Grizz PR injury update says. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Dan Wilkin going to join us at 1:25. Also, a very fascinating NIL.
I know where you're going.
Dispute going on between Washington and LSU. Damon Williams.
Yeah, the quarterback.
Washington's trying to enforce some things legally that I don't know if they can enforce, but it will tell us quite a bit about the future of this stuff. We'll get into all that with Wilkin and more. Stick around, J&J 910 FM, ESPN.